Bear Podcast 443.
Just makes you all fuzzy inside.
So was it all lube? What kind of lube?
Okay, are you ready?
But he's got a. But in the picture that he's got on, it looks like he's got a bear.
I got to see lots of bears playing.
What? You mean you didn't have your podcast equipment with you?
It's actually plants killing zombies. Would it be better to go there and then get sick afterwards? Well,
I don't know. It depends on what you get sick with. Me and James have a lot in common. We're both tasty wise.
Matt Bear Prop.
Don selling his thong. Having it auctioned off, I think you got $150 just for a thong.
Your question of the week.
The sexy question of the week.
Oh, really? Want instant gratification in the week?
Yeah, those bears get around. Everybody knows everybody in this world.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to episode 443 of Bear Podcast. And we are based here in Houston. And we just have some pictures here from last weekend's Texas Renaissance Festival. Our friend These are his pictures, and we'll put the links on the website for his where his pictures are, because he's a professional.
Oh, look, it's a hobby.
Photographer.
Well, that's a hot wolf.
There's a hot wolf bear here. Okay. Yeah, Ray is a wolf. Ray wants to. You plan to watch Breaking Dawn Part 2, right?
Of course, I plan to watch Breaking Dawn.
You're such a gay guy. But anyway, before we go,
I'm both on Team Jacob and Edward.
Team Jacob. You can be in the middle.
Yes,
okay.
I'm their athletic supporter.
All right, so before we continue, it's actually Veterans Day. Is today Veterans Day or yesterday?
Sunday is just a Veterans
Sunday. Sunday
is Veterans Day.
So, yeah, so it's a Veterans Day, and we thank all the soldiers and all the military, all the servicemen, everybody who has been protecting us, protecting our country here, and thank you for your services. Yeah. Do you have any military in your family?
My dad was National Guard. My uncle worked for the Army.
Okay.
So,
how about you? You didn't go to the military, no?
No military for me.
Oh. Would have.
I almost went to Citadel.
You almost.
I'd been like being in the military, except I'd be paying for it instead of the military paying me to be there.
Yeah. So. Okay. So yeah, thank you all, veterans.
And we'll talk more about veterans in a little bit too.
Yeah, we have more about that. Okay, so a few updates. I've been out with Asians and Friends. I haven't been hanging out with the Asians and Friends. Asians and Friends Houston is a group here in
Asians and Bears.
Of Asians.
It's more like Asians and really, really old bears.
Yes. I don't know. Some are just really just old.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so it's a group here in Houston. There's an Asians and Friends chapter here in Houston. There's a lot in different cities like Denver, San Diego. There's a Long Yang Club there. There's also a San Francisco Asians and Friends. So it's just, we have a chapter here, and it's our 20th anniversary. So good job, Asians and Friends Houston, for hanging in there for 20 years.
Yep.
And it's,
hopefully in 20 years you'll still be around so I can find me an Asian. So I can be a really old bear with a young Asian.
There you go. You have a goal now, Ray.
I have a goal. That's right.
Yes. And then what's been happening? Softball also. Yesterday, Sunday, was the last day of fall ball here in Houston. So it was fun. It was fun.
Where'd y'all place?
I think we placed third out of fourth.
Better than being fourth or fourth.
Uh-huh, it is right. There's not too many. I don't know. If there are six. I think there are six teams. I can't remember. But, yeah, we did okay. I mean, we played. Our team got dissolved for some reason. They don't know what he wants to play with us anymore, so. I ended up playing in another team hall. Anyway, so Ray, how about you? What have you been up to?
I had a pretty laid-back weekend. I went up to College Station Saturday and hung out with a friend up there and enjoyed my time up there. And, of course, A&M won. They beat number one ranked Alabama. And everybody went crazy after the game up there and people were screaming.
Wait a second. You were watching football.
I was watching football. I watched the first.
Oh my god!
I watched the second quarter.
You're butching up, Ray. Okay, so you watched football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Texas A&M beat who again?
Alabama.
Alabama.
Number one ranked Alabama. They beat them. So.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
So, and everybody went wild in College Station. So.
Mm-hmm. Everybody went wild.
Yeah.
Did they burn any cars or topple
anything? No, but they have some weird traditions out there. They do like a midnight yell or something. They go to the stadium and people start piling in there and they start screaming about stuff. That's what I was told. And then there was this...
Shouting about what? What are they shouting?
Because they win, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Something like that.
They're not tearing up the field, are they?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's allowed. And then there was this bus riding around that's like converted and it was playing band music and it was just riding around town.
Oh.
So I was just like, what is that about? And he said, that's the band bus. And I was like, oh, okay. That's some things you just don't want real answers to. But but that was it. So that was my weekend. Come back Sunday and hung out with you. And
yeah.
We went and saw, what movie did we go see?
We watched Cloud Atlas. Cloud Atlas. We could probably talk about it. Yeah, it's part of our
update. We're segueing in there, see? It's a segue.
That's right. So, yeah, we watched Cloud Atlas. I am so confused. I'm so confused at the beginning. I bet the book was too. I mean, a friend of mine, my friend John Palima, he was reading the book. He wanted to read the book before he watched the movie, I think.
Yeah.
And he said it's good, it's just, but it's a little confusing.
You jump around. For the listeners that went, Cloud Atlas is a film that consists of six interrelated and interwoven stories that take the viewer from the South Pacific in the 19th century to a distant post-apocalyptic future. Unlike the original novel, the film is structured, according to novelist David Mitchell, as a sort of pointless mosaic. We stay in each of the six worlds just long enough to get hooked, to be sunk in, and for the hook to be sunk in, then the film darts from world to world at a speed of a plate spinner, revisiting each narrative for long to propel it forward. So basically they start off with one little story and then they jump and jump and jump, and then you back this story and then you jump and jump and jump. And it keeps going through the movie, and then you try to start interweaving stuff. All the characters are pretty much played by the same six people.
Yes. Tom Hanks, Hugh Grant,
Halle Berry.
And
Mr. Smith, what's his name?
His name, the older guy, is that the older guy you're talking about? Oh, Mr. Smith, the Hugo Weaving from The Matrix,
and the older guy that was one of the professors at Hogwarts taught potions, the one that collected people. I can't remember his name right now, but anyway, he was in it. And the movie's almost 3 hours long, so make sure you've got plenty of time to go watch it and you don't mind sitting on your butt for 3 hours. But it was a very good movie, I liked it. And there's a lot of stuff. I can't wait for it to come out on DVD because I want to actually be able to fast forward and do stuff because everything's tied together. All the stories are tied together in some point. And there's stuff that you see in one clip that in the future it changes into something else totally. Mm-hmm. Like pictures or music, or there's a scene where they're in this Asian sweatshop and they're stuffing these, looks like ducks and eggs. And then in the future scene, they're in a restaurant that's got the same egg shapes as the deals they were putting the ducks in. It's the same name. The corporation grew and become a larger, huge corporation after that. So.
They pretty much show a lot of parallelism from the past into the future.
Future, yeah.
Yes.
And the same stuff, and it's basically what happens, it's kind of like watching Battlestar Galactica. What happens in the past will happen in the future because everything's circular.
Mm-hmm.
If it happened before, it's going to happen again. And it's very much like that the way through the movie of how people are treated, how slavery was handled, how it's handled, what it happens to it in the future. And it's a very good take on that.
Yeah. Like so. I said, it's like what happened before is happening in the future in a different sense, but it kind of worked, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I like the effects. I like the storyline, like I said at the beginning, it's really confusing. But it all gels at the end.
So you get closure on everything. It's just trying to keep up with who's doing what. Sometimes is a little confusing. And there are some of the actors changed gender in the movie.
Oh yes, that's
and
right.
like Halle Berry becoming no was it Halle Berry?
It was Halle Berry.
That was the Asian.
Yeah, Halle Berry is one of the doctors, I think.
Yeah, she's a doctor. She's an Asian doctor.
But he was a he. Yeah, she was a he.
In the future and stuff. Yeah. And then who was the Asian that was the bellhop that let her into the hotel room when she was the reporter? Because that was one of the other actors, and he wasn't Asian.
Yeah.
So anyway, but it was very funny. They great makeup. The only bad makeup I saw in it was the Asian lady when they were in the sweatshop. It looked very fake on her. Remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. The one who smashed the head? Oh, smash the head. I'm sorry. Spoiling it, sorry.
Yeah, see, people on Facebook don't write about you now.
Oh, no.
You'll get hate emails.
Nard@bearpodcast.com. Okay.
So, but it was, I recommend going and seeing this great movie. So.
Okay.
Now, on to our other favorite, and spoiler alert for Walking Dead. We're going to say that right now, Dave Wright. So if you're listening to the show and you hadn't seen this week's episode, stop now and go back.
I posted on Facebook. Nobody's got it yet.
What?
I did say something very vague. I said, damn telemarketers. Towards the end.
You've lost me.
What happened in the very, very end before it really ended? The TV show. He answered the phone, right?
Oh.
That's why I said, damn telemarketers. Oh. They're still around, even though it's a... Okay. But yeah, we know what's going to happen. We know what that phone call is.
Right. One of the girls today asked me, who's that calling on the phone?
Mm-hmm. It really pays to read the comic book, really. Yeah. I tell you guys.
So, but it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you think of... what do you think of Rick?
I think Rick's done lost his damn mind.
He lost his mind.
Finally. And I'm wondering, since he's doing it earlier now.
Yes, it is earlier. Earlier than how the comic books.
Yeah, so I wonder how that's going to play out after they leave there and start moving on to the end of this season, next season. Or maybe they're going to drag this at the penitentiary out for two seasons. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but.
Well, just staying in the penitentiary, in the prison, is really just a season by itself.
Yeah.
If you look at read the comic books, you can really drag it out.
Because they hadn't even started planting gardens and growing food and all that stuff yet. I mean, they're basically day three in the penitentiary, and we're, four or five episodes in now?
Yeah, they can really stretch it out because they have to plant. Eventually, they're going to have to
grow food and all this stuff.
Real food.
So it'll be interesting to see how the transition from how fast it starts picking up and going, and if at a certain point, if they jump forward and all this, well, they got gardens and all this other stuff going on. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see.
When you get trapped in a world like that, in that situation, I think that's the first thing you got to do, right? You look for a prison because that's really fortified. So
yeah, but you still have to deal with the zombies inside of it, but. Yes, it is a little bit more fortification and a lot easier, I guess, protect yourself because you got the walls outside and then you got the internal locking mechanisms that you can lock yourself in the jail. If there's not a new prison and it's all electronic locks, then you're screwed.
Yep. Unless they're all manual. I'm sure they have manual ways of...
I'm sure they do, but I'm sure it's on the newer ones, it's a lot of
electronic. Yeah, it's interesting how their take now on... how it looks like in the TV show because in the comic books it's really different, but
yeah, so
it's good. Yeah.
Now I guess this is Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica. Okay.
Have any of you guys checked out the new Battlestar Galactica? They're doing mini episodes on YouTube, and it's Blood and Chrome, and it actually takes place when William Adama gets out of the academy.
So it's like a prequel.
It's like a prequel. Okay. And most of it's done in green screen and CGI. So I watched the first episode today. Oh my God! If the live show had that much CGI in it, it'd have been incredible. Because they got stuff going on in the Galactica that you never even thought about or they didn't even see in the Battlestar Galactica series, the reimagined one they just did. So this takes it back, and it's a lot like Sanctuary, the show Sanctuary's film where. They go back into the past or Battlestar Galactica is a brand new ship. William Adama just got out of the academy.
Oh, it's brand new. So.
Yeah. Just got out of the academy and the Cylon Wars and full fleeing and he's a hotshot pilot and he wants to go out there and kill Cylon. So.
You know, remembering how Sanctuary did it, it's a good thing you mentioned Sanctuary. They really started off as a CGI
show.
CGI show, pretty much.
So, and they got away from that some, but now they're back. A lot of the scenes are back to it. So
yeah, because it's cheaper that way. It's cheaper to do it CGI than to, of course, having sets built
and all that stuff. So, because CGI has come so far and become so much more cost efficient, you don't have to build these huge elaborate sets. You can put them in front of a green screen and then put everything behind them and it looks real. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of entertainment, of looks real. Last Friday, I forgot to mention, I watched Les Miserables.
Oh, that's right. You went to see Les Mis.
Les Mis. I watched Les Mis last. I went alone, but it was awesome. I was telling you about how they did the backdrop.
Yeah.
Okay. It used to be they used real sceneries, or they used props to do the background, but now they kind of made it. It may sound cheaper, but the effect is better for me. They use projectors. So they use some kind of projection. So if they're walking through the town, when the students were walking through the town, they have the town behind them panning. And then when the character Jean Valjean was carrying Marius through the tunnels, they have tunnels as a background, and so a sewer type thing. And then it's really good. They're really advanced now in how they do musicals.
Yeah.
Well,
scenery is expensive, and to truck it around, if you're on a touring show, to truck it around, it gets expensive. So
yes,
got to find ways to make it easy and cheap.
I still like the rotating stage, though. You've seen that, right?
Yeah, that's the original one.
That's the original version
in New York. They had the rotating stage, and people would start walking, and the stage would rotate. So they really didn't move; they were walking in place as the stage revolved.
Yeah, I like that. Because when it comes to sceneries also, that also helps. There's a moving, and it's a very realistic movement. Yeah. So, anyway, how did we get to from Battlestar Galactica to Les
Mis? I don't know. But go check out Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome on YouTube. We'll put the links on the website, because we're going to sit here and watch the second episode when we get done recording the show. So.
Okay.
So
we're going to watch that.
Now on to some more Veterans Day stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Sunday was Veterans Day, and today some of my friends, actually Samuel, who was a Wolf, What a Bear on the show last year, who's now out of the military, we actually interviewed him on the show and asked him what it was like to be gay and out after Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, and it was basically okay to be gay in the military, and talked to him and everything. So now he's out, and he's working, and you know, going to school full-time and working, and He posted this, and there was some response from his friends about Veterans Day, and I just wanted to read it because it really touched me. Mm-hmm. And this is from this is Samuel saying this. Veterans Day is always a weird day for me. Ever since I joined the military, I knew what this day was for to me, a day of reflection on for those that had served before me and continued to serve. But for me, this has a little more weight due to the things that I have done for the military. I've done a lot of things that was amoral or morally gray for the sake of keeping my fellow brothers and sisters and fellow Americans safe. I'm not proud of them. I lost a lover who was killed in action, and friends that crumbled and faded because of the burden the military put on them. This day of my very first trauma, something that I am still sorting out, yet I am still standing. It is hard to have pride in being a vet when you're not so proud of what you've done that made you a vet. So I wonder if there's anyone else that has the same feeling on this day. Just need to throw that out there. Now back to your regular scheduled programming. That's all. So this is his feelings about being a veteran. And these are the things that a lot of people don't see about vets. The things that they have to do to survive. Yeah. That the government makes them do. Basically, if you're told to shoot somebody, you shoot them. I mean, there's no gray area that you do what you're told. Yeah, or you get court-martialed. Mm-hmm. And then one of his friends, Robert, responded, I feel the same way. I'm over here in Palm Springs, and they had a vet parade yesterday. My friend wanted to see it, and I went with him. But not even 5 minutes into it, I had to walk away. Out of nowhere, these emotions that I thought I'd dealt with came back quick and with a vengeance. I remembered what happened to me in the war. My friends, soldiers I didn't even know, the pain and some other stuff. I couldn't fight back the tears, and the faster I walked away, the quicker they fell. I was kind of ashamed. People passed me by wondering why I was crying, why I'm crying, giving me the weird eye. So, you know, we thank the veterans a lot. I don't think most people think about what they really had to sacrifice, what they're still having to sacrifice. I mean, war changes people. I remember asking my grandfather about being in World War II, and he didn't ever want to talk about it. And then I finally got out of my grandmother what he did during the war one year, and he was one of the people that went out and collected dead bodies off the fields after the battles and put them in bags or whatever they had at the time and sent them home. So I imagine after doing that, for a little while, you kind of get screwed up in the head about what you see and what you think. And then all of a sudden it's over and you're in I guess, well, a lot of these guys were in Afghanistan last week, and this week they're back home. How do you deal with that? I mean, how do you deal with the constant threat of I'm getting shot to coming back to a normal life? I mean, I don't think a lot of people really understand that. So thank you guys again for doing all that you do. And we know that it's tough on everybody, but we hope that you hang in there and make the best of it.
Here's a message from my friend Gary. I am stepping out because the American Diabetes Association's Step Out Walk to Stop Diabetes is so much more than a fundraising event to me. It's my opportunity to change the future and make a positive impact in the lives of those who are affected by diabetes. I am committed to walk and raise money in this inspirational event, not because 26 million people in the United States have diabetes, but because I personally know some of them and I want to do something about it. I am inviting you to join me in my quest to prevent and cure diabetes once and for all. Chances are, you also know someone who has been affected by diabetes and you already know how important it is to stop this disease. By making a donation on my behalf, you will be helping the association provide community-based education programs, protect the rights of people with diabetes, and fund critical research for a cure. With your help, we will fight for a future where a parent does not have to hear that their child has diabetes. A future where an adult does not have to face the uncertain times ahead after receiving a diabetes diagnosis. A future where you and I will know that we had a part in making this possible. I truly appreciate your support. Together, we can stop diabetes. Come help out my friend Gary. Just go to bearpodcast.com and follow the link to Gary's Step Out, Walk to Stop Diabetes page.
Now we're going to go for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre. Okay. So the first story we're going to talk about is the Uganda to officially pass Kill the Gays Bill. That is something that Ray found online. And
We actually talked about it on the show before, about the Christian evangelist that went over there last year and got all this stirred up and got one of the gay activists over there killed because of this.
Yeah.
And now this bill got put before the Ugandan Congress, and it's being passed. The law will broaden the criminalization of same-sex relationships by dividing homosexuality into two categories: aggravated homosexuality and the offense of homosexuality. Aggravated homosexuality is defined as gay acts committed by parents or authority figures, HIV-positive people, pedophiles, and repeat offenders. If convicted, they will face the death penalty. The offense of homosexuality includes same-sexual acts or being in a gay relationship and will be prosecuted by life imprisonment. So you either die or you die in prison.
Okay, so there's a difference between aggravated homosexuality and offense of homosexuality. Okay, so the difference.
So I guess now somebody can walk up and say, oh, I think you're gay, and they arrest you and put you in jail.
Oh, yeah.
So,
but I mean, just the suspicion?
Yeah. Several European countries have threatened to cut aid to Uganda if it passes, with the UK government warning Uganda it could face severe restrictions in financial help. President Obama has described it as a odious, and Canadian politician John Bard has said it is vile, abhorrent, and offends decency. Mm-hmm. So, gay rights activist David Keita was murdered in Uganda in January 2011, shortly after a local newspaper published the images of him and other gay people under a headline urging readers to hang them.
Oh, God.
Despite this, Uganda's LGBT community held a week of gay pride events this summer. According to a 2010 survey by Pew Research Center, homosexuality is morally unacceptable by 89% of the Ugandans. So the other 11% are gay.
Yes, that's right. So it's really sad that, they were just celebrating with a gay pride parade last during the summer there, and then
now they can go to jail for it or be executed.
Do you think they would be wearing they wore masks? Because they already know the bill is going to be introduced.
I don't know.
So I'm sure they may be wearing masks or something, or because they don't want to be identified if they're identified. Because to be sure, there's going to be YouTube videos there, and they're going to see them, see their faces, and they're going to be screwed. They could, or seek asylum somewhere.
Yeah, true. So it's going to be rough for Uganda. I know it's off my vacation bucket list now. So,
You wanted to go to Uganda?
Well, you know, I want to go anywhere in the world besides you know, Houston, Texas, but I can't get, you know, don't have the funds to get there. So Uganda's off officially now, so.
Okay.
But now to not gay for strides.
For the
other part of the gay.
The happy part. So gay marriages in different states. As of November 7, gay marriage has been legalized in 9 U.S. states. Yes, I saw the some pictures online, and you know, it's been passed in many states. So it's in Maine, of course, Maryland, Massachusetts, of course, we have that, Connecticut, Iowa, Vermont, New Hampshire, New York, and Washington. And, of course, the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. So 31 states have constitutional amendments banning gay marriage. 6 states have a law have laws banning gay marriage. So proponents argue that the same-sex couple should have access to the same marriage benefits and public acknowledgement enjoyed by heterosexual couples, and that prohibiting gay marriage is unconstitutional discrimination. So opponents argue that altering the traditional definition of marriage as between a man and a woman will further weaken the threatened institution of that, and that legalizing gay marriage is a slippery slope that may lead to polygamous and interspecies marriages. Now that's just stupid. I mean, they're
because you know I really want to go marry my horse.
Yes, that's right, or my dog, right? So. I don't have one. Get me one. So.
Or maybe I'm gonna fall in love with my pillow and I don't want to marry it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so as of November 7, gay marriage has been legalized in the following states: Massachusetts, Connecticut, Iowa, Vermont, New Hampshire, New York, Maryland, Maine, Washington, and 31 states have constitutional amendments for banning gay marriage. And yeah, we mentioned that earlier. So Massachusetts, which became the first state to legalize gay marriage in May 17, 2004, had the lowest divorce rate in the country in 2008. Its divorce rate declined 21%. Between 2003 and 2008. So, that means gay marriage is very...
stable.
Yeah, very stable. And there are no divorces.
That's right.
Well, less than the divorces. Yeah. So, the Congressional Budget Office estimated on December 17th, 2009, that extending employment benefits to same-sex domestic partners at the federal employees would cost the federal government $596 million in mandatory spending and $302 million in discretionary spending between 2010 and 2019. Excuse me.
And that's just a drop in the bucket on the government spending. That's probably not even a blip on what they spend on some stuff.
I know, on military,
military, on defense, everything else, and all that other stuff. So that's just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah. So the Williams Institute of UCLA Law School estimated the positive economic impact, of course. There's going to be weddings. Of legalizing gay marriage in New Jersey to be $248 million over 3 years, creating 800 new jobs and bringing in an additional $19 million in government revenues. And as of September 12, 2012, 11 out of 194 countries allow same-sex couples to marry, like Netherlands, Belgium, Canada, Spain, South Africa, Norway, Sweden, Argentina, Iceland, and Portugal. Gay couples are allowed to be wed in parts of Brazil and Mexico. In Mexico. So, yeah, it's...
So we're taking steps forward and we're taking steps back. So
you know, in Texas, guys, we're in Houston, Texas. It's going to take probably 50 years.
I don't know.
But it'll get there.
You know, if everything works out with Obama, you notice Houston was primarily Democratic out of the state. Houston, Austin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So it might spread out. It might spread out. So.
It might spread out. So we'll see.
So eventually we'll find something else for the religious right to fight about, and it'll drop off eventually, I think.
Yeah. So. Okay. So how about the geek on this one, Ray?
Best Buy has invested 50,000 hours training employees to help new customers make sense of Windows 8. They should be training them how to help customers and just not Windows 8.
Yes.
Because I went in there the other day and I was asking for information about a TiVo, and they're like, oh, well, we got them in the back. I was like, any information on it? They couldn't tell me. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I walked out. So, with this new Windows 8 operating system, Microsoft has brought a complete overhaul to the Windows platform that includes an emphasis on the Metro user interface and touch capabilities. The changes to the operating system represent a shift in the PC industry as a tablet and smartphones enter into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. Consumers who have used older versions of Windows for years, however, are facing uncertainty when upgrading to Windows 8. Microsoft and its retail partners understand this and are investing heavily to educate consumers. According to Forbes, Best Buy has spent more than 50,000 hours training its employees to become Windows 8 experts. Mm-hmm. When customers go through an OS transition, they want to touch and feel the product, said Jason Bodenfig, Merchant Vice President for Computing at Best Buy. They want to be able to talk to someone who is knowledgeable and ask them questions and match them to the products that best meets their needs. So,
have you ever tried Windows 8 yet?
No.
No, you haven't touched it?
No.
I was at Best Buy last weekend mm-hmm. and checked it out. Actually, a couple of months ago when it came out, as it was still in testing, I tried the tablet version on a Samsung 7, Series 7. It's pretty nice. It's really built for touch. Mm-hmm. The Metro interface and everything.
He'll have a Surface by Christmas, I'm just saying.
I don't know. I don't know about that. But the Surface is running Windows RT, which is actually a full tablet version. And they don't have I don't think they have Netflix yet. They don't have the basic apps. Facebook, Twitter, Netflix, Hulu, you just launch it to go to Internet Explorer to launch those, I guess. Yeah. It's so basic right now. There's nothing you can do right now. No one is making apps. So
it'll start. It'll pick up soon.
Well, give it probably a year or two, maybe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So
what about our bazaar there, Maynard? We have two this week. So
yes, we have bazaar. But anyway, so Windows 8, let us know if you're going to get the Windows RT, the Surface. And very soon we're going to have Surface Surface Pro. So probably talk about it in the next
episode. Let's hope this Surface did better than the TV show Surface.
Yep. Whatever. So bizarre. Here we go, Ray. Okay, so which one do you want to do first? This one? Yeah. Oh, okay. This hits home a little bit because not that it happened to me at home in the Philippines. Okay, so bizarre here is mourners flee after man turns up alive at his own wake.
Hey!
Brasilia in Brazil. A 41-year-old car washer from northeastern Brazil shocked his family by turning up at his own wake after his family mistakenly identified a murdered local man at the morgue as him. Local media reported Tuesday. Don't they have any dental?
It's Brazil, man.
It's Brazil. Why? They're not that backwards.
Well, some of it's very rural there.
Really?
Yeah.
So, okay. Family and friends in the town of Alagoinhas in Bahia State were gathered around the body of another car washer resembling Gilberto Araujo when he showed up after being told of his death by a friend who had spotted him in the street. I said, "Guys, I'm alive. Pinch me." Araujo told the O Globo news website. He had not seen his family for about 4 months until then. So he hasn't seen the family for 4 months.
Yeah, so, you know, he'd been down the down low.
Yeah, they thought he's dead. When they saw someone that they thought is dead. So his mother, who is a shopkeeper, Maria Menezes, said some of those attending the wake fainted while others fled. They ran away. They ran away. Oh my God, it's alive! It was a fright.
I bet you they owed it money and they were come to see and grin and say,
"I know,
gotta pay you now."
I know.
Oops.
I'm very happy because what mother has a son that they said is dead turns up alive. She said, on first learning of the confusion, Araujo tried to call an acquaintance at the wake to inform that he was alive. He tried to call someone,
and
his call was dismissed as a prank. It's funny. The corpse has now been returned. O Globo reported. So there's a corpse there that they don't know who. They've been mourning in front of it, but they don't know who it is. So they return it back to the morgue. Oh my God, that's really creepy.
Now some other family's got to deal with it. So
yep. Mm-hmm. So, okay, what's the other?
Our other bizarre is a mother wrote in to a columnist to say that she got home early from work one day and she heard the vacuum cleaner going in her son and her 12-year-old son's room, and she thought it was a sign of the apocalypse because he never cleans his room. Mm-hmm. So she was like, well, maybe he's finally growing up and taking initiative. And she busted in, opening the door on him, and he had his Johnson being sucked up by the vacuum cleaner.
Nice. Classy.
So she immediately, after she picked a jaw up off the floor, walked out, turned around, shut the door, and walked out of the room. Now, she asked the columnist, she said, "I haven't said anything to my son about it because a few hours later, he left to go stay with his dad for the weekend. So apparently the parents are separated.
Oh, my God.
What should I do? How do I deal with this? And the columnist's advice was, well, if you're still on good talking terms with your husband, call him and tell him what happened. And then what she worked out.
Tell him. Them,
tell him what happened. So, and then when y'all both have a good laugh over it and get done laughing about it, you ask him to talk to your son about stuff and show him that there are other ways to enjoy himself without using appliances that can clog up filters. And she said it's probably best that if you never mention it to your son ever again, unless you want to pay for therapy bills. So.
Oh my God, that must be embarrassing.
But I mean, I know I did crazy stuff when I was a kid. I mean,
you used a vacuum cleaner?
Oh, I don't think I ever used a vacuum cleaner.
I've never used a vacuum cleaner.
And if I did, I wouldn't admit it on this show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so,
but I mean,
I wouldn't either.
When we're older, we do stupid stuff or try crazy things. So I know I remember as a kid doing stuff, you know. I mean, it felt good. I was like, ooh. And even I talked to my friends, women that have babies, and she said, oh my God, my 2-year-old will not leave it alone. He keeps touching it.
Oh my God, really?
And I'm just like, she said, y'all are obsessed. I understand why men are the way they are. They're obsessed from the time they come out of the womb with it. And I said, welcome to our world. So,
okay, I should tell you that on Bear Podcast, we had someone in the show. I'm not going to say anyone. It's not anyone you've seen for the past year here on the show.
Dave Wright.
No, he's not. He's not. He's got an X-Tube video of him using a vacuum cleaner.
Oh.
We had him in the show before. I'm not going to say who it is. I can't. I just can't. But it's just that I saw it on X-Tube. What can I say? And he was proud of it, I guess, back then. So I don't know. I don't know if it's still up. Maybe it is. Maybe not.
No. I never really
thought. I'll tell you more who it is later.
I never thought about using the vacuum cleaner just because it was too much suction. If it got sucked in, it might not come out. That would be a problem. So.
You're too scared that what would happen after. So. Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's our show.
We got some shout-outs.
Got some shout-outs. Congratulations to Freddie and Jay Freeman from Bearpalooza. Actually, they just finished their show this past weekend in New York. And I haven't seen videos yet, but they actually got married. As far as I know, they
honestly,
got
the
married.
Honeymoon videos.
The X-Tube videos.
The X-Tube honeymoon videos.
So they got married in New York, and it's awesome. I have yet to contact them and ask what happened. So
yeah. Well, they posted some pics on Facebook.
They already have, yeah. Okay.
So congratulations, guys.
Congratulations.
Awesome. Also got a shout-out for Jerry. He's homesick. Patrick's having a nursemaid him.
Aww.
Of course, he won't go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a shout out to him. Get better.
Oh, I have one shout out. I would like to say Merry Christmas to Dave.
Yes, Dave. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Dave. It's an inside joke, guys.
Yes, inside joke.
Yeah.
Sorry. Nobody, unless you're friends on ours on Facebook with Dave, you won't understand. But
mm-hmm.
So sorry. We still have to put out there to harass Dave. Because he'll be mid-flight when this comes on. And then after he goes, he'll have to stop it because he hadn't watched Walking Dead yet.
Uh-huh,
and then he gets back to it, then he'll be like, you asshole.
Yeah. we need some Christmas lights here or something. We should have
No Christmas until after Thanksgiving.
That's right, no.
We're going to be like,
celebrate.
Everybody needs to be like Neiman Marcus. No decorations until after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. One holiday at a time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can give us a call at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Give us a call, leave us a voice message, and we'll play it on the show.
Yes. And subscribe via iTunes, YouTube, and Vimeo. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah. And you can call in and tell us what you did with vacuum cleaners or other stuff.
Or let us know. Email us some stories or even voicemail us some stories. Yeah. And also go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. You can, all the information, all the links about the everything that we talked about, it will be in the show, in the show notes. Okay. One more thing, Ray.
Yes.
We have to watch Skyfall.
I guess so. It was one of the biggest opening movies this weekend.
And I've been hearing from some of my coworkers that it's really probably the best James Bond movie.
Well, maybe we can do that this week. Let's see Skyfall.
Yeah, we can do that. All right. Give the Skyfall. All right, thank you everyone for watching and listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Many whoops and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof.
I must talk louder.
That's a good number, 38.
Bear Podcast, 443.
I would like to say Merry Christmas to Dave.
Yes, Dave, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Dave.